This is the meditation for Wednesday in Holy Week, Potential and Passion. A reading from the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And after supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not of all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Sorry, I can't say that without smiling because I just think it's so funny. I see Peter in that moment. I see myself in him, not getting the whole thing about the reversal of power, that is, the leader becoming the servant, rather all of us becoming servants to one another. It's too much of a radical, political, social, emotional upheaval of personal experience, as well as human experience embedded by eons in the evolution of our character, to get in such a short time. Also, I feel close to Peter in not trusting Jesus initially in what he's doing. "Depart from me, I am a sinful man," says Peter after the marvelous catch of fish. "No, that can never happen to you," says Peter when Jesus predicts his death. "No, you can't wash my feet," says Peter at the Last Supper. Peter barges into things, like he will do in Sunday's Easter Gospel. When Peter arrives at the empty tomb, the beloved disciple is already there, but is hesitating, listening, perceiving, respecting, preparing himself perhaps for what he will see or not see. But Peter just barges right in without stopping at the threshold. And of course, as Jesus predicted after his arrest, Peter will deny knowing Jesus while he is in the courtyard warming himself by the fire 3 times. I would have done the same thing, I know. And more poignantly, I have denied Jesus throughout my life for more frivolous reasons than the life and death situation Peter faced at the moment. But I'm comforted by Jesus seeing the potential in Peter's quicksilver temper, his emotional and intellectual clunkiness, and above all, his capacity for, what shall we call it? Passion. A book simply called Love by the late Ernesto Cardinal has been very helpful for me in accepting my own potential for passion. He says, "The girl who most dreams of love, who is burning with love or the desire for love, she who most craves life and romance is the one who has the greatest capacity for surrendering herself to Jesus. She seeks him in her dreams, at dances, and in all her loving, but she does not find him there. We were created for love, for a God who is love. And the worst sufferings and the hardest pains of each one of us are caused by love. Cardinal then talks about how those of us who keep looking for love in all the wrong places, as the song goes, can become stunted and embittered when, to quote Cardinal again, they could be overwhelmed with love, and their almost limitless capacity for love, tenderness, and self-surrender could be filled if they would only turn inwards to the inexhaustible love which lives and breathes within them. Their lives would be rapturous. They would smile and sigh and take delight in a paradise of love. And God, like us, is a cry of love, an infinite passion and infinite thirst for love. Love is our reason for existing, and this love of God and our own love are the same love, and it has no end. We were created for love, for a God who is love. Jesus said, "As I have loved you, love one another." To continue the story in John's Gospel, after he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you." Jesus is saying, there are no more servants and masters. I'm giving you responsibility to love. And you must accept then the consequences of loving. No one can love instead of you and then take the inevitable risks involved. Did Peter foresee in this moment that if he loved in this way, the way of Jesus, he would surely die? Do you remember that old legend of St. Peter, Quo Vadis? Peter had been preaching in Rome and is about to be arrested. His friends help him escape, and he is now on the Appian Way leading away from the city. Coming in his direction toward Rome, he encounters the risen Lord. "Quo Vadis?" "Where are you going?" Peter asks Jesus. "To Rome, to be crucified again," says the Lord. Peter understands and turns around and heads back toward his own crucifixion. The requirement of love is to be like Jesus, to give of yourself for love. Again, from John's Gospel, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." You and I, we have great challenges of love before us. I think we can't really imagine yet what life will be like when this quarantine is over. But this week, within the paradox of distancing, of loving by not going out, we have the spaciousness to think and to pray, to tone our spiritual muscles, deepening and empowering our inner senses, to strengthen and deepen the capacities of love for the ones who will need our love most in times to come. Peter will be grieved that not only did he deny Jesus, but was unable to comfort him. But I am guessing that Peter's passion was a comfort to Jesus anyway, knowing that Peter would get there eventually. Jesus saw the potential of Peter's very great passion, and perhaps sees mine and yours. Sometimes our timing is just off. And here's the reflection question. Remember when Paul was praying and asking God to take away what Paul called the thorn in his side? And God replied, "My grace is sufficient unto you. My power is made perfect in weakness." What is your weakness? If you don't know, ask anyone. They'll tell you. How does God use your weakness as God's own strength? This exercise might take a little time because of our blind spots. Ha, that could be a big weakness right there, blind spots. But think about Peter's passion, how it was both strength and weakness. Remember Leonard Cohen's famous line, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." How can grace pour through and from your weaknesses?